you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Man, that is a sick open. It never gets old. Welcome to Sixers Talk, brought to you by Wilmington University. WilmU Works, Danny Palmels, Paul Hudrick, our esteemed producer, Ben Berry. You got the right place at the exact right time. We are talking about one of the infamous periods.
Oh, infamous.
Infamous
totally
periods.
A fair word.
In Sixers history, maybe in sports history. The process is what we're talking about. And this is a cool Sixers Talk podcast you'll enjoy, because Ben Berry came up with a fabulous idea. And what we're going to do is, well, Ben, you take us through it. What exactly are we doing here?
So those 4 or 5 years of the process, all those players drafted, I'm going to pitch a player to Danny and Paul. They got to tell me what they're up to now, whether they're playing in the league, whether they're in the G League, where they're playing overseas, or any funny stories they have about that player being a part of the process.
Let's go.
You ready?
I'm excited.
So we'll start off with an easy one. Michael Carter Williams.
Nah, in the league.
Yeah, in the
Orlando
league.
Orlando.
He's with the Magic. We saw him. Who did he get in the scuffle with earlier this year? Didn't he get almost coming to blows with somebody?
I don't remember, but he did. Yeah, he almost got in a fight with somebody. I can't remember who it was.
And you know what? If you want to do the nostalgia on all these guys, he was definitely a guy I was bullish on, and I still get ridiculed about it in the content room.
I do know that.
Because
next Jason Kidd. Danny.
Yeah, I said
no.
I did. I said he was the next Jason Kidd. And mind you, I was in the building in his debut against the Heat. Me, my dad, and my son came to the game. He had a triple double, I think, that first game. Or near triple double or whatever.
He was at a quadruple double.
Is that what it was? Okay, there we go.
Like
I remember it. Yeah, he had a strong game. They ended up winning that game. I thought they wasted a draft pick out of Syracuse. I didn't like him. And then he just grew on me really fast, ended up being rookie of the year. I thought he had some magic. And speaking of magic, Magic Johnson also thought that
Magic Johnson thought a lot of things about
him. He also thought that he was a high caliber player, but it didn't quite work out. I thought he would be out of the league by this point. It was a point. He was on the fringe for a little while.
It was not pretty.
He was with Milwaukee, I think, and
Milwaukee
Chicago.
Was the trade that got the Sixers that Lakers pick, that protected Lakers pick, which ultimately didn't want. I mean, it didn't kind of work out for them. Whatever.
Did that went to Boston? Eventually?
No, that was a Sacramento pick that went to Boston.
Where did that end up?
I can't even think off the top of my head where the Lakers pick. I know that King went somewhere.
Yeah, it was protected for a couple years, and then it was. But I MCW, I was very bullish on him.
I did not know he was in the league until the Sixers played the Magic a few weeks ago. So
now he's been hanging around. He's actually, I mean, listen.
My son still has a plush doll toy of MCW in his room.
He's not the guy that certainly you thought he was going to be. He's not the guy that certainly a lot of people thought he was going to be. But he's a bench player in the NBA. He belongs in the league. He's never going to shoot the ball, obviously. Never going to shoot it well, at least.
That's a great trivia question, though. Like, whatever year that was, he won Rookie of the Year. Like,
yeah,
who was the rookie of the Year that year? People would not get that.
No.
Quizzo? That'd be a good Quizzo question.
It's funny. So my Michael Carter Williams thing, and it also ties in with someone else who I think we're going to bring up later on. I'm sure he's going to come up because he was at the forefront of all of this. But Michael Carter Williams, there was, for some reason, a signed Michael Carter Williams basketball floating around our office, mini basketball.
Yes.
And it was downstairs, you know, when we had the old office, and then we got the new offices upstairs that are beautiful that got renovated. So in the move, it was one of a couple items that was just left downstairs. So I was like, well, I can't leave this.
It was considered worthless.
So I can't. It's like, I can't leave this. Right. So that sits on my desk along with another item, which I will not reveal that item until we get to that player.
I think I know what that is.
As a mark of the process, a reminder of when, because when I first started, it was 5 years ago. So it was the beginning of the process. So yeah. I started here.
I am patting Paul on his back right now just to congratulate him for enduring one of the toughest stretches.
So it's just, it's a reminder of, you know, every time that I maybe am getting a little disenchanted with covering this team, maybe I get annoyed with whatever is going on in covering the team. I look at that and I say, hey, it could be that.
That's a good one. I want to make sure we mention that second item, though, because that second item is actually pretty cool.
Oh, we'll get there. But I'm sure that this guy's name's on the list.
What do you think, then?
So we're going Sterling Brown.
Oh, dang. You really going to go there, huh? I'm going to say out of the league. I don't know what the heck he's doing.
Well, Sterling Brown is with the Bucks.
Is he?
He was their one of their the second round picks they sold, correct?
He is playing for the Wisconsin Herd right now.
Okay. Oh, well, Milwaukee Bucks G League.
All right, G League. Yeah.
G League. Oh, you guys ready for another one?
Yeah, no stories on Sterling Brown.
No stories. Okay. KJ McDaniels.
KJ's not in the league.
Yeah, he's gone.
Any ID where he's playing?
That's a good one. I'm going to say Olympiacos. He's in Europe somewhere.
Okay, yeah. He's
in Europe somewhere.
I'm going to guess, because I don't know, I'm going to guess that he's still hanging out in the G League somewhere.
He is in the Philippines.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Hey, that's a pretty place, though.
There's worse places to have to
play basketball. Yeah.
I did a deep dive. I couldn't find a team or anything. He in the Philippines.
He just found a Google Maps dot on the Philippines.
You remember how hype people were about him, though?
It's
and the
funny.
The whole thing with his mom and all that.
How about selling high on KJ McDaniels? How about that? They got all the value out of him.
Give Sam Hinkie credit. And this is like something where I get why a lot of people didn't enjoy the process. But, man, you got to give Sam some credit for some of he found a guy at KJ that some people were high on, whatever. He, you know, he was super athletic, could jump out of the building, showed some stuff here, and then got something for him while he still had value.
But I think that is the thing that I do enjoy about what Sam Hinkie was able to do, because you got to leverage your relationships, and he wasn't good at that, particularly when it came to agents and being kind of having that bedside manner. But Daryl Morey, knock, knock, knock. Hey, you take this guy who I don't want, my former employer, and give me something better in return. So,
His mom was like super, like, helicopter parent?
Vocal. Yeah.
Like
Jahlil Okafor's dad?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. That whole thing. No, but with KJ, it's just, I just remember there were a lot of people that were excited about him, and he was kind of like one of those guys that was like, why isn't this guy playing more? And when he got traded, some people were like,
Lord,
why would you trade him?
Lord have mercy.
And now he's in the Philippines.
Jeremy Grant.
Oh, go ahead.
You just saw him.
Yeah, I like Jeremy Grant. And I think he's, I guess we got to say where he is now. Jeremy Grant is playing for, he's not OKC. I know. Hold on. I just saw him. He is with, who is he with?
Denver.
There we go. But the thing with Jeremy Grant is I'm disappointed that they couldn't figure out a way to make him a part of what they are now, because I feel like he's very strong defensively, versatile. He's not a shooter by any means, and he's definitely an undersized four type player, but I feel like he was a value pick, as somebody they could have turned into, you know, something a little more useful. You know, a guy who can play multiple positions, has that versatility defensively that they seem to value, and he just kind of was a casualty and hit the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I mean, I got the trade at the time because you wanted shooting around Embiid, and Ilyasova did a really nice job in that regard. They probably don't go on the playoff run they go on without, you know. You always talk about how much you loved watching that lineup of Ben surrounded by shooters. Ilyasova was a big part of that. I mean, Ilyasova is what he is, and you know, now he's with the Bucks, and he's just, you know, he's a guy. He hits shots, and you know,
He takes charges.
And he hustles and he takes charges. He can't actually, you know, stay in front of people, but he can take charges. You would have liked to see Jeremy develop into the guy that he's become here. It probably would have been more valuable over time. It's hard to grade that trade because of that. I mean, overall, OKC wins that trade. They had to move him to Denver because of money for cap reasons, and maybe that's part of the reason why, not to defend Colangelo here, but maybe that's part of what Colangelo's thinking was, is Ilyasova was an expiring contract. He knew he was going to have to unload. He knew at some point he's going to have to pay Jeremy Grant. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to justify the thinking, but yeah, he's become a useful NBA player. He's very switchable, you know, really good rim protector, weak side rim protector, can, you know, switch pretty much 1 through 5 almost. And he has developed his shot a little bit to a point where it's at a respectable level. Shot it very, either last year or before, shot it really well. And yeah, he's a valuable bench kind of player that maybe this team could use right now.
He is a great example of one of my tenets of life is it often matters who your parents are. So his dad, NBA player, his uncle, NBA player, he was born in that pedigree, and here he is, you know, what is he on, his second contract now? Probably.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm saying he's got a valued NBA livelihood because of his pedigree.
I would like to point out that we purposely did not do research because we didn't want to cheat.
Oh, no. This is all off the, off
so
the top of the head.
I just want everyone to, I want to preface
it's
that.
It's all off the top of the head.
We're all, because we did not want to cheat. We did not want to know where these guys are playing and all that. So if there's some things where we're like, that's why.
We're going to go Giannis's younger brother, Kostas Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, he's on the Bucks, right?
Nah, that's his older brother.
That's Thonis.
That's one of them.
The other one, where the hell is he?
Kostas? I'm going to go Bucks G League.
Dallas's G League?
Wrong to both.
Okay.
You want a hint?
Just tell us.
He is with the South Bay Lakers.
Ah, Lakers G League.
All right. Great.
You sound disappointed. Just having fun. Don't bring down the mood.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
He's a soul draft.
I think I'm mad I got it wrong, I think is what it is.
See, I
got
to be honest, though. I don't know if I count these guys as process guys when we're talking about guys that were sold by Bryant. Well, that was... Now they sold him. That was part of the Brett Brown GM era.
You can dig deep into that brain.
Kostas.
I got nothing on Kostas.
Yeah, but. That was, yeah.
Okay. We're going to go TLC.
TLC is playing in the G League for the...
Say his name.
Timotei Luau-Cabarrot.
There we go.
It is a beautiful name.
Yeah.
He said it when the night he was drafted. It was like French poetry. It was beautiful.
I'm definitely going G League.
He's definitely G League. I just don't. Chicago's G League?
That's a good guess.
No.
Washington's G League?
Closer, but no.
I'm going to say Cleveland's G League.
No.
Who?
Nets.
Nets. Long Island Nets. Oh, right. I did know that. Okay. Yeah, they signed him. He's a two-way guy, I think, right now.
Okay, TLC.
But TLC, I remember when they drafted him. Because I'll be honest, I liked him. And I remember at that draft, it was myself, it was Jess Camerano, and it was John Gonzalez. And I remember Gons, he was pumped about TLC, because he was pumped about that draft, because if you recall.
Oh, God, not...
That was TLC, not, and that was Furk.
Was it Furkan?
Yeah.
But I know Gonzo was a huge... who's the kid he plays for Orlando? Hezonja. He was a big Hezonja.
He's in
guy.
Portland now.
Oh, but it's Portland. Here we go. I know we just saw him
that
recently.
That was the Okafor draft. Yeah. That Hezonja.
He was a big Hezonja guy.
He wanted Hezonja over Okafor, which
I
guess that would have been 6-1, half dozen of another at this point.
Really? No, don't do Ja like that.
Come on, dude. Anyway, they're both starters. Or no, actually, Hezonja's probably started more games for Portland than Ja has for New Orleans, I think.
But
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's... Really doesn't matter.
It doesn't. But,
but TLC, I just remember Gons being pumped that they got TLC and Furkan. And I remember him like praising Colangelo for that. And I think we all kind of saw that. We didn't notice that they, you know, didn't draft Pascal Siakam a couple picks later.
A lot of Furkan at the Sixers art exhibit. A lot. Plenty of Furkan.
I didn't see. I mean, I saw him part as like the team stuff. I didn't really see over the Furkan.
There's a good amount of Furkan.
All right. Sure.
You enjoyed it though. Sixers art exhibit was sick.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, it was really cool. Like I told you, if I was making Danny Palmel's money, I would have that one Iverson stepover painting in my living room. But
oh, you are kidding.
Not making Danny Palmel's money.
So, Paul, you might want to sit this one out because when I told you this idea, you went on a long rant. So, Danny.
Oh, yeah.
Pierre Jackson.
Oh, Pappy God. I like Pierre Jackson. I was kind of bummed when he tore his Achilles. But he can fill it up. I remember him number 55 He's in the G League. No, he is overseas. I'm going with overseas.
He is in China.
China, okay.
China.
He is getting buckets in China, Danny. Yeah.
I mean,
because that's where bucket getters go. They go to China.
Is it hard to get buckets in China?
I mean, do you have any buckets
in China? I was going to say, how many buckets you got in China?
I mean, I know that our guy, Jimmer Fredette, was averaging like 70 a game in China. So
yeah, because he's a bucket getter.
Do you have any buckets in China?
I can buy a bucket and take it to China, but I do not have any buckets in China.
Got
to
get it through customs. No, but I love Pierre Jackson too, because I remember what he was on pace before he had that injury.
That was tough, man.
He was going to be their starting point guard that year.
That's not even a joke.
He really was.
But he could feel. He would have been an exciting player to watch.
He would have been a better version of a guy who, again, I know is coming up on this list, but he would have been a better version of that guy.
Casper Ware.
Not Casper Ware. Casper Ware's going to be on this list too.
Glenn Rice Jr.
I don't even remember how does Glenn Rice Jr. even connected? I don't even remember. Was he here?
Yeah, I just remember him as a Nick. When was he drafted?
Well, I wasn't prepared for this, but early on.
I don't remember Glenn Rice Jr. at all. I remember Glenn Robinson III being a Sixer for like a minute.
Right. Glenn Rice Jr.
Glenn Rice Jr. drafted in the 2013 draft by the Sixers, but was end up traded to the Wizards. But
Same day. Okay. That's a good one. Where is he, though?
Got to move the second round picks.
Oh, where is he?
Yeah.
Let me pull back up to my list. He is in Spain.
Hey.
Sorry. I was looking at the wrong name. New Zealand Breakers.
Ah. Hey, again, New Zealand.
Not bad either.
Not a bad place to be playing professional basketball. Not bad. Well, I mean, His dad, man.
I bet he has a mean haka dance, though, right now. New Zealand, home of the haka dance.
All right.
You've seen it.
Moving on.
What? Who we got?
We have Russ Smith.
He's in Spain.
Russ Smith.
Did I guess that right?
What did he score?
No.
He's got to be overseas, right?
He's overseas.
I don't know where he's at, though.
He's playing for the White Tigers.
Who is that?
CBA?
It's in China.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
One of the leagues over there.
What did he score, like 60 for the Blue Coats? That, or they were the 87ers at that point?
Yawn.
Kid out of Louisville. I remember that. I remember him just...
Yeah, he was good at Louisville. I enjoyed him. Well, he was on that Kevin Ware team, I think.
You might be right. I don't remember vividly. But I just vividly remember him scoring like 60 for the Blue Coats.
He was on that Kevin Ware team. Because that's when I found out he was related to JR.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I think like distant relative or something like that. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, jump shots running their family.
So let's go with Ray Spalding.
Ray Spalding was a sold second rounder. See, I don't know. I don't classify him as a process guy.
Not a process guy either. Tell him, Paul.
Because he was a Brett Brown draft pick when Brett Brown was a GM for a hot minute.
Quick break here. We want to tell you that dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. WilmU helps working adults reach their career goals through accredited and affordable degrees and certificates. To reach new heights in your field, WilmU works. Find out why at wilmu.edu. Ben.
What's up?
Who you got?
Let's go with Elfrid Payton.
Ah, that was the Dario Saric.
He doesn't count.
He was drafted by Sam Hinkie, so that one.
Well,
that
he never
one
even
more
stepped
the other
foot
guys.
In this building, but
he did for the Orlando Magic. He'll be in this building tonight or Wednesday night.
Stop it! Stop giving it away.
Gotta go edit that now.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you know.
Elfrid Payton. Yeah. Well, he's a Raging Cajun. What is he?
Yeah. Raging Cajun.
Yeah. I liked him, man.
Yeah. I still like him a little bit.
I wasn't sure. I'll never forget. What draft was that when MCW was in the stands?
Yes,
and the look on his face, bro, when they drafted another point guard that high in the draft, he was like, "I don't know what to make of this. I can't." But I liked Elfrid Payton before he came into the league. Once he came into the league, I saw a lot more of his deficiencies, probably because he was playing too much. And
I like him now. I like him more as like he was pretty good as a backup in New Orleans. It's just like a backup point guard. He clearly never lived up to the draft, the lottery pick status, but he's a basketball player. He's an NBA basketball player for sure.
Who we got?
Let's go with, we're at the list of names I'm about to butcher.
Okay.
So that's where we're at in this list. Let's go J.P. Tokoto.
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 I got no idea where he is.
North Carolina guy. I know he's a high flyer. He's got to be over. There's no way he's in the league because he didn't even cut it with the Sixers.
He's in Spain.
There you go.
Oh, that was the Spain. I tried to leverage Rush Smith as a Spain guy, but yeah.
No, Tokoto, he could fly, man. I remember that. I remember when they drafted him as a second rounder. He was kind of like, it was KJ Daniel, McDaniels-esque, where people thought he was going to come in and do some things, and he just, I don't think he made the opening night roster, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, though.
Let's go, because we only got a few minutes left, and I'm trying to think, who's the guys you wanted to talk about that we haven't gotten to yet?
Well, Nerlens.
That's an easy one, yeah. Now, speaking of fights, Anthony Davis kicked him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know. And Dennis Schroeder came to his aid and got in Anthony Davis's face. And Nerlens tends to be like in the middle of like a lot of that, I don't know, angst underneath in the post and whatnot. But my kids love Nerlens. He was big at my house. It's like the flat top was so long ago. You kind of forget about the flat top because what do you? He has dreads now or braids?
Yeah, he's got like braids, but it's like a fade braid. But so the other piece of memorabilia from the process we have this story.
Oklahoma City, though, is the answer.
Yeah. Yes. But this story, I don't even know. I can't even put in the words this story because this is so strange.
You caught Nerlens eating hot dogs in the media room?
No. So again, when we were moving,
I like the audacity going into the media room stealing hot dogs.
I sort of applaud it, but I sort of think, what the hell are you doing at the same time? So same thing with moving from the office upstairs. The other item next to the basketball was a knee brace.
Yes.
Now this knee brace, rumor has it, belonged to Nerlens Noel.
It is a mammoth knee brace,
and it got into the possession of the great Christina Betts, who's not here anymore, obviously, but she was, you know, here as one of our web video editors, did such a great job for us. She was a big Nerlens fan. She still will probably die on the Nerlens Hill. If there is a Nerlens Island, she is probably alone on it. But she got in possession of the knee brace. It was living downstairs. I said, this can't.
No,
you can't let this get thrown away in the rubble. This is part of the process. It needs to live on forever. So now, the MCW basketball sits inside of the Nerlens Noel knee brace on my desk.
I'll never forget when she put it on.
She is not a big person.
Right, and it was like the half the size of her leg.
Right.
Just his knee brace. So obviously it's a 7 foot tall
young man. And she was like 5.
Yeah, she's probably 2 feet smaller than however tall Nerlens is, she's 2 feet smaller.
Solid
now.
2 feet.
Tony Roten.
Tony Roten.
Yeah.
I have no idea what Tony's up to these days.
You know what? I enjoyed his I don't give a F attitude on the court. when he's like, oh, we tanking games? That means more shots for me. I'm going to average 18 a game on this process team.
And Tony Roten is the process guy, right? Like, he's the one who kind of like said it, coined it, made it a thing. Like,
Tony is over in Poland.
Poland.
See, that's what I'm saying. There's different levels of like European basketball.
Oh, look, it's a Nerlens.
What is that?
There it is.
What is that? What is that?
Look at it.
Why is it here? How did it? What?
Look at it.
Look
at
that.
You
thank you, this,
you can't,
our guy Spencer McKercher.
But it says Nerlens Noel right there. And we didn't put that there. That wasn't for show. You can see that's a big knee brace, man. That's not fitting you or I.
Bro, this is like a holster for a machine gun.
Right?
Like, so there it is. This sits at my desk and is a reminder of the process. Oh, here, look at this. Look at this great view here. Can you see the Noel there? Can't really get a great look at it. But
what about when Roten's shoe blew out on the floor?
Ah, look at that. There it is. It's upside down. A little turn it up. Rinse that up. Oh, I can't do it. I can't find the camera. Where are we at? What are we doing here? There it is. There it is. Nope.
Yeah, that's it. I see it, Noel. I can see it.
Hey, there
remember when Roten blew his shoe out, though? Like, his whole bottom of his shoe came out.
I don't remember that.
Well, he used to wear, like he was definitely a sneaker guy, and he would, like, wear, like, his retros and all that stuff. So I guess he brought out, like, a 10-year-old pair of Jordan 10s, and he cut, and the shoe stayed where he cut, and his body went the other way. And he was just like, his foot was sticking through the bottom of the shoe on the court.
I actually have a pretty funny Tony Roten story. How long ago? This is really long ago, because it was like my senior year in college. And it was an opening night, and Tony Roten was playing for a sports broadcasting class. Mm-hmm. We had to do a highlight. Obviously, this has not become my job or my forte, but we all had to do a highlight.
Right.
And so we had to do it off of Sixers opening night against Indiana. And Roten yammed on somebody. I can't remember who it was, but he caught a body big time. I think it might have been Mahimi.
Mm.
And I just remember having to do that call and like having, and just like, because I watched it 1,000 times to practice it and like watch it. It's just funny. Like, that's my vivid Tony Roten memory.
Roten Dunkin' More Than Donuts. What was your call? How'd you?
I believe I said, "Don't hurt anybody down there." Or
oh,
because like that, that's what it was like.
Cleared for takeoff.
Yeah. And there was a fight in that game, too. Who the hell got? Mahimi got in a fight with somebody in that game.
Jan Mahimi.
Might have been Nerlens.
Anybody else process Isaiah Cannon?
Isaiah Cannon was a good one. He was not good. Isaiah might be in the league somewhere. He was in the league.
I think
he might be in a G League somewhere.
He still had kept collecting some type of NBA check, I think.
He's CBA?
Chinese basketball. So yeah, he's so
Shandong,
perfect.
Shandong Heru.
Yep, he is perfect for that league.
I remember, I think I was surprised when Chicago gave him some money.
I was surprised anybody gave
him. Yeah, but it just shows the status of that franchise. But
I remember his first game. I was in the newsroom here. I believe you were too, actually. When it was like his first game against OKC, he bombed like 5 threes in the first half. We're all like, whoa, yeah. Sam Mickey just totally stole this
guy.
I do remember that. And then
he can shoot, though.
Talk about turning into a pumpkin. My goodness.
I love that phrase, turn into a pumpkin. I love that.
Yeah,
because it just captures it so well. Yeah. But anybody else on your mind?
I'm trying to think of really hard. I mean, should we just talk about Sam? What's Sam up to these days?
He's got a beard. We know that.
Yeah,
and he got baldy too, right?
Didn't
he cut the hair off?
Yeah. I think it's like a very, very, very trim buzz.
Yeah.
Now he's listening to audiobooks 2x speed or whatever. And
but see, he left Philly and got the Philly beard. See, they always take stuff from us and adapt to other places, man. They always try to take stuff from
us. I thought that was more of the like the Silicon Valley mogul beard. That's what I was thinking
wisdom,
he was going for. Yeah, and especially with the real tight. That's what I thought he was, like the almost like the Steve Jobs look I thought he was going for.
Professor Hinkie?
Professorial look.
Stanford? Or he's just...
I know he was teaching, like he was like an adjunct at Stanford.
Okay.
I think he still talks to like the analytics conference at MIT. I think he still does that from time to time.
Rumor has it you still read that 7-page manifesto once a week. Is that true?
No.
That's what people say.
Well, I have it committed to memory, Danny, so I don't really know.
Oh. Paul. Level-headed Paul, everyone.
I will say this about the process.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. What do you have?
I know a lot of people didn't love it. There were people here who I know in this office who referred to it as a Ponzi scheme, which is just absurd.
That is so funny.
You gotta give the man his due.
Hinkie. Yeah.
You don't have Joel Embiid. You don't have Ben Simmons. You don't have the assets needed to trade for Jimmy Butler. You don't get Robert Covington. You don't get TJ McConnell. You don't have all of this if it wasn't for what Sam Hinkie did. There were plenty of things the one thing that bothered me most about Sam Hinkie is that he let a lot of people take the fire and didn't face it a lot. And
like Brett Brown?
Correct. Brett Brown had to face a lot of stuff. And then it was funny because they hired Brian Colangelo because that's what he was supposed to take the heat off. And then that didn't happen.
But just to offer a counter thought, I feel like he was trying to figure it out. Obviously, he was in a role that he had never been in before. And the Colangelos were not an upgrade. I think that needs to be said, that the idea was that they were going to bring in, you know, whether it was by the league's mandate or what have you, because they weren't pleased with what was happening with the process. Either way, the Colangelos didn't shepherd them into this new era of successful hoops that was speculated that they would. I think Hinkie was undervalued, like I think you think as well, Paul. And I think that had he been able to stay here, the success would have been magnanimous.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen him. I would have liked to see him see it through and see if he could finish a job. He started it. He laid a good foundation, I thought. I don't know what the thinking point
outside of the box, the approach, I think doesn't get enough credit. And I feel like whether you agree with the process or not, the end result, as we see it here, had he been able to continue to make decisions, might have been even more promising for us, because he was in the asset accumulation business. And I think that they've not gotten away from that, but the win now suddenly has taken over.
I do. You guys, I know this is like a big process truther thing, which I wouldn't say I'm that, but a lot of the process truthers will say, and I think this is a point that's actually pretty fair. Like, it started a trend. The rest of the league started doing it. The Sixers were open about it, and they got in trouble for being open about it. Other teams have done it since, and we applaud it. Like, when the Knicks did it last year, it was like, oh, they're tanking for Zion. And it was like this thing that, like, everyone looked at it and almost like revered it. And it's like, well, where was this when
it definitely was going on before
basically
Hinkie,
Sam Mickey got blackballed? But the fact that they were so open about it,
which is probably what cost him his job,
it
is that
did,
the fact they were so open.
But you know what? It was a black eye for the league, whatever. But yeah, the team the Knicks shot at last year, that wasn't a black eye for the league or anything.
I think because the Sixers, I don't know. I mean, because they were the Sixers. I mean, the Knicks had been bad for so long. I felt like people looked at the Sixers as a team that had pieces and had been in the mix of acquiring free agents, so they didn't have to do that to get free agents. But I was fine with the process. But Ben, any final thoughts?
Apparently, Sam Hinkie was a consultant for the Broncos last year, I just found out. Google search.
He does have that in his bag. He did do some NFL stuff before coming to the NBA.
Good for him. You know, I respect his grind and hustle. No one knows exactly what he does besides, you know, make teams bad and get assets. Respect.
Right, if that's what he's known for. But we appreciate you listening, as always, here on Sixers Talk, brought to you by Wilmington University. WilmU Works. For Paul Hudrick, I'm Danny Pommels, and Ben Barry, our scene producer as well. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time.